Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. The press for Josh King said he's known for blending blunt, hard-living storytelling, and galloping melodies into a walloping punch of rock and country. The Greensboro-based multi-instrumentalist and singer-songwriter joins me on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his new album set to release on November 5th, entitled Feel Good. Hi, Josh. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thanks for taking the time to join us this morning. You're in North Carolina, correct?
Yeah, Greensboro.
Greensboro, cool. Uh-huh. We were just in that area for the IBMA, International Bluegrass Music Association conference here a little while ago.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, I love that beautiful part of the country. Have you been there your whole life? Are you a native?
I grew up in High Point, so I've lived all over the place, but for most of my life, I've lived in High Point in Greensboro.
Enough to call yourself a native?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's cool. Did you grow up with music? How did music become something that was a center point of your life?
Yeah, I was always surrounded by it. I grew up in a musical family. Both parents, in some degree, were involved with it. Also, my grandparents, my grandfather was a piano player, played in church a lot. So we grew up singing a lot of gospel, doing a bunch of harmonies together and stuff like that.
Yeah. Did you play as a young child?
I started playing piano when I was I guess around 10 or 11 years old. And kind of quit taking lessons and went off into wanting to just create my own stuff.
Yeah.
Which I completely regret, but but yeah. So, and then after that, I started playing bass in high school, got into punk rock and skateboarding and all that stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
And then kind of started my first band then
in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then kind of moved on from there to songwriting. I guess I was always doing some songwriting, but more singing and songwriting.
what inspired your songwriting? What led you to want to pursue that aspect of music?
As a teenager, I think a lot of it had to do with getting some thoughts out.
Yeah.
Being able to...
It's a more cool form of poetry, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I always liked writing, even doing poetry and stuff like that. And I don't know, I think more of it had to do with having some idols and thinking they're cool and wanting to do what they did.
Uh-huh.
And, after that, it became more of a something that I had to do. Wake up in the morning, it's like, in order to feel accomplished during the day, I would at least have to get a song started.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a good thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been able to pursue it full time? Was there, if not now, was there a point where this was full time?
There was. I played in a band called House of Fools for, I'm so bad with time, but for several years we toured, 10 months out of the year.
Okay. And that was indie rock, right? That was not the Americana flavor. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was more indie rock, and the stuff that I'm doing now, this next album is more of that the next album is kind of up more like the indie rock Americana. It's kind of everything I've ever done mashed into one album. I've never really tried to, when writing, I've never thought like, well, I want to write this kind of song.
Yeah.
When normally whenever I have a song finished and when I get into the studio, it could turn out to be something totally different because you end up adding all these different instruments and all this stuff. Sometimes, you know, a super slow, sad song can end up sounding like a ELO song.
Yeah, right. How did the House of Fools thing come about? When did that start for you?
I was playing in a kind of a punk pop rock band at the time, and we were doing pretty well in Greensboro. You know, we didn't really hit the road that much. I think we went up north a couple of times. But I got into The Last DJ by Tom Petty. Mm-hmm. I've always loved Tom Petty, but for some reason I got that album and wanted to write songs like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I picked up an acoustic guitar and started kind of getting into that vein of music. I had a buddy that I went to recording engineering school with, and he had just got like the first version of Pro Tools. And
oh, yeah.
So we went over to his parents' basement. I was like, oh, I have all these other songs that won't work for my current band. Would you be down to record some music? So we did that, and we get together and record these songs, and then we put them up on MySpace just for fun, just for our friends to hear. And we got contacted by a label out in California called Drive Thru Records.
Mm-hmm.
And we immediately, you know, kind of got most of the guys from the band I was in, pulled them over to this band, named it House of Fools, and hit the long, dark road.
Yeah.
Went on.
That's a different life. I don't think people understand. Most of us in the audience just see a band on stage we like and think it's really cool, and then we enjoy the music, and we go home and they don't realize that you guys got to pack up gear and load up the bus and drive all night and all that kind of crazy stuff.
Well, hell, with House of Fools, we were just stoked if we had a couple of you guys in the audience.
Yeah.
But not only did we play in front of nobody, but we also had to jump in and drive 8 hours to play.
Right.
In front.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody. So did that just kind of run its course? When did that end for you?
Well, we had a good run. We, you know, we did really well in certain parts of the States. We got to the point where some of us started got married, having kids and stuff like that. We're going off and playing, even if it was a good gig, it still wasn't like, we couldn't draw a bunch of heads in,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Out of town to make it worth us leaving.
Yeah.
And, you know, taking some days off from work and stuff like that. So we ended up doing we play once or twice a year locally, either in Greensboro, Charlotte, or Raleigh or something like that. And well, we're the last time we had one scheduled for 2020, and of course that we didn't do that. And I think that was it.
Yeah.
It was never like a really spoken thing, and we haven't really. I
mean, yeah, it just kind of faded. Yeah.
Yeah, if something comes up, then maybe we'll do it.
Yeah.
If not,
okay.
If not, it's okay.
What made you feel like switching genres a little bit, toning it down, if that's the right way to describe it, you know, in more into the Americana feel?
Well, I think more of it had to do with the players. You know, like we were, House of Fools was a 6-piece band. We had a guy in there that loved metal. We had a guy in there that loved, you know, just everybody loved different kinds of music. So that's kind of what made House of Fools. For my solo stuff, you know, it's still the same songs. And I think they could still, if I took it to those guys, they'd end up being House of Fools songs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this, like I play a lot of the bass on all my solo stuff, play a lot of the keys and acoustic guitar. And then I have my buddy who is from House of Fools, Joel, who plays all the guitars. So it's more of a broken down project. There's less heads, and it's a little more focused, I guess, to you know, the recording always kind of meets the original thought that I had in my head when writing the song, if that makes any sense at all.
Sure. Yeah. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview. Do you have a process that you put yourself through when you write? Everybody seems to be a little bit different. I always find it. We have a lot of songwriters that listen to the podcast, and I hear from them that they enjoy hearing the different nuances as people work the craft of songwriting. How does that unfold for you?
Oh man, I wish I knew. I hardly consider myself a professional. It's different every time. Sometimes I'll get up in the morning and jump in the shower, and a melody will pop into my head, and I'll sit down and pick out the chords and hum the melody, and you know, is decide if that's a chorus or a verse or something like that, and then kind of go from there, writing lyrics as I go along, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if I have something in my brain, I'll write it down like lyrically first, and then, you know, if a melody pops up, go searching through my notes for some lyrics that I might have already had, and then go from there. And then sometimes I'll sit down and write a song, you know, just write the melody progression and lyrics all together.
The new record, Feel Good, is that right? Do I have the name correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The songs that are on that, did you write specifically? Tell me about the material that's on this new record.
Well, it's, you know, a lot of it was written during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Every song is about a certain situation. There's some stuff on there that's a little more political, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I lost some friends during the pandemic.
Mm.
Had a baby.
Yeah.
I became a stay-at-home dad from, you know, I play full-time in a party band, wedding band.
Okay.
That's my day job. And I went from doing that to being a stay-at-home dad for a solid year. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff about all that. It's every song's something different about
personal, sounds like.
Personal stuff.
Yeah.
And then some songs that I hope everybody can relate with the climate of our country and everything.
So it doesn't come out until November, is that correct? So it's not officially out, but you've been releasing singles.
Yeah, yesterday I released the second single, and it's called Tired of the Fighting, which I think the title explains itself.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Have you had a chance to play this material out solo or as a duo with an audience?
Right before the stay-at-home order hit, and I had a couple of the songs that are on the album written. So I went out and played a solo, like a little solo gig. And then I think it was like a week after that, everything shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it's just been, we're trying to get, you know, I haven't really had time to put together a band. Like I said, whenever we're in the studio and everything, it's a broken down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd have to find some other members to fill it in. And I just, you know, haven't really had time to do it.
Is that your intention? What are the plans with this record?
Sure. Yeah. I think once we start going, have some people in mind and some people that are down to do it, carve out some time and, you know, play some shows.
And are you still doing the wedding band thing? Is that still active for you?
Yeah.
So you're getting to play.
Yeah, we're back at it. You know, don't ever try to take a wedding from a bride.
Right.
we're trying to figure it out as we go along. That's what I mean when I say get back to normal, is financially and everything. You know, once I get some weddings under our belt and make some more money, and I'll have some time to do some of my personal stuff.
Yeah. Do you want to get back on the road with that? How far out do you want to take this? I know when we were talking about the House of Fools, you mentioned that you guys had kind of gotten worn out with that process.
Yeah.
Is that too far to go back to that style?
I don't think so. I'd love to do it. Mm-hmm. I know a bunch of the guys that would be playing with me would love to do it. It just have to make sense, you know.
Sure.
Going and doing the bar gig where you go, you know, play a handful of your songs and a bunch of covers until 2 a.m. is kind of out of the question for me. But if I could go play in front of a crowd that wants to listen and are open up for somebody or whatever it is, I'd definitely be open to doing that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
How far ahead are you writing? Like, do you have the next album in mind? Have you written that far out?
Yeah. Yeah. I try to write, like I said, it's a part of my, daily routine. I have to get some writing in, and I have an idea for the next album, kind of like a, the vibe for the next album. And I have a few songs that I'm excited about.
Will it be in the same genre as this one?
No.
Different feel all the way around?
Well, yeah, I mean, it'd be kind of in the same vein, you know, but I want to get a little more experimental with some stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The songs I have right now are a little more mellow. Maybe a little more singer-songwriter-y.
Yeah.
But I would like to get some different sounds involved and try to, you know, experiment with some things.
I was listening to some of your videos. It has a 70s feel, nice kind of mm-hmm. 70s vibe. And one in particular, you're harmonizing with yourself. And I had this Crosby, Stills, Nash kind of feeling listening to that song. It kind of felt very 70s summertime-ish
cool.
kind of feel. Yeah, it was really cool.
Well, yeah, I love all that stuff, especially when it comes down to harmonies and stuff. Then one of my favorite things to do is, you know, get a song down and then hash out some harmonies.
Yeah, you mentioned Tom Petty. Is that the kind of style of music that influences you?
Big time. Yeah. You know, 70s rock. Tom Petty. We've always had this thing in the studio. It's like whenever you get stuck, what would Tom Petty do?
Okay. I like that. That's cool.
We kind of go that direction.
Yeah.
It just seems like he's just the kind of guy. I love his lyrically. He's such a blunt writer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's songs that seem so simple, but when it comes to, like, but it's hard to write, you know.
Yeah.
You listen to it, it's like it seems like it was already there.
Yeah.
Before, you know, I was like, oh, that makes sense. But when you get down, try to write a song like that, it's a little more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
than
mm-hmm.
it seems.
That's cool. So the new album is called Feel Good. I believe you said it was out November 5th. Where can people reach out to you, get a copy of the album when it's out, correspond with you?
Yeah, we're gonna we're gonna do a pre-sale or a pre-order or whatever here in the next couple of days. So you can you'll be able to buy it. I'm not sure if it's gonna be on Bandcamp or if it's gonna be on the Screwdriver page. And then, you know, once it comes out, it'll be streaming everywhere.
Yeah. Okay. Website, Facebook, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Josh King. It's Josh King on Facebook, Josh King NC on Instagram.
Okay. Website or are those the avenues?
Those are the avenues.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. A lot of people are using that as their Facebook or their website page now.
You know, I had a website for the past couple of years, and then, you know, it seemed like everybody was going to Facebook and
right.
Instagram anyway. So
yeah.
I'm not very tech savvy either. So keeping up with that was a pill.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, Josh, and enjoy your music, and we wish you the best with it.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.